Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents Recorded Live in Chicagoland, USA.
May I mumble dog face to the banana patch?
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Everything's awesome.
Everything's awesome.
Just take a look around you. You just can't go wrong.
You just can't go wrong.
The possibilities
will astound you.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Bad Rapport. I'm Carrie.
And I'm Luke.
And this is Luke and Carrie's
Bad Rapport.
Yay.
Yay. So how are you doing, Carrie?
Good. How are you, Luke?
Hey, I'm fine. I'm just eating some bacon. Yum, 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 yum.
And how much bacon?
Can I tell you about the latest mixtape that I've made? It is about bacon. What's yours about?
And the real Luke is in the background trying not to lose his shit.
Aw, shucks!
Okay. Oh my god, it's the future me who has time traveled from later on in the podcast.
I'm just eating some KFC. It's a 30-piece bucket.
Right, well now we're going to have a fight to see which of the Lukes will survive for the rest of this podcast.
Skype fight! Skype fight!
And then we get a techno theme song. Din, 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 din.
Well, okay.
Since it's like quarter to midnight where you are, why don't we just declare you the winner and then
yay!
And then get going.
Hey! Oh wait,
I
that's
win
American
a time zone.
I probably shouldn't sing the Stars and Stripes Forever as your American winning theme song.
Don't sing our theme song because our national anthem's rubbish.
We know all British people are time lords.
That wasn't the national anthem, actually.
All right. Well, thanks again, Dan.
Hey, that's all right. I'll just go and see now if I've woken everyone up in my house by singing.
All right. Well, you can apologize to them on behalf of random Americans that you've never met.
Cool. Will do. I'll say that as well.
Okay, good.
All right.
All right. Have a great cool. night. Happy New Year.
Cheers, guys. Yeah,
happy,
you too.
Happy New Year. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Happy
New Year. Bye. 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 Bye.
And now it's the future. Oocher, oocher, oocher.
Enough comedy jokes.
And since we didn't say it before, this is episode 31.
31 indeed.
Of Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. Today is December 29th, 2010.
Hot
our
damn.
Last episode of the year. Should I bump up the lovely levels?
I don't know. Maybe just a little bit.
Okay, I've bumped them up just a little bit.
Alrighty then.
And okay, so what's on the agenda here?
So we've done Bad Rapport. I mean, we've been doing it for more than a year, but this is the first time we've done an entire calendar year of Bad Rapport.
Yes.
So that significance has...
Assuming this episode comes out.
It will. So that's neat. Anyway, I liked Tron.
I didn't like Tron.
Did you see Tron?
Yes.
You didn't like it?
No.
What did Josh think?
He liked it.
Okay.
And so did my dad, and so did James, but I just, I gave it a chance, I was with it, and then the last half hour, I just, like, was rolling my eyes constantly at how horrible the dialogue and story was. It's just like, every year, the dumbing down of movies is just a little bit dumber than the last year. I mean, the special effects are cool, but, I mean, you know, I was more into Avatar if you want movies that are just cool for their special effects and the look. Yeah, you're right. Oh, we're not supposed to be wearing headphones anymore.
We can take them off now.
So thanks for joining us, other Luke from the past.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of funny because, you know, the past two episodes, it's mainly been me and another person. And
yeah.
For this one to start with you and another person is kind of fitting.
I suppose.
And if you'd like more of that, listen to episode 29 of the Funny Music Podcast, which either is already out or will be out tomorrow, depending on when you hear this. Chances are it's already out. So go to thefump.com and click on the little window there, and it'll take you to the thing and stuff.
So what else have you been up to, Luke?
Well, there was the DoohanCon party that you and I both attended, and that was fun. I wasn't there for the entire thing, but the parts I was there for was fun, and there was crazy rob-your-neighbor white elephant Santa gift-giving.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. I'm trying to remember what I wound up with. Actually, I wound up with some candy that... Actually, I kind of don't know where the stuff is, but whenever I find it, I'll have a box of candy, white candy, and some other stuff that I don't remember. We're right now, like, actively distracted by my cats, which are trying to get in the room, which I'm shutting them out partly because yesterday I was watching my dad's favorite show. Turn that on silent.
Hi.
Hi. That was Willow trying to get in.
Hey.
Just let her in. It's not going to make, you know... We'll just keep them away from stepping on the power button.
Well, part of the problem is that it's 23 minutes till her dinner time, and she wants to make goddamn sure I know it. So, but no, yesterday I was watching my dad's favorite show, Frontline, which is a PBS show. I was watching it on my computer, and just as soon as I had fired it up, Buffy came in and casually turned off my computer by stepping on the reset button on the power strip. Anyway, boring.
Meow.
What did you end up with at DoohanCon?
I ended up walking away from the crazy Rob Your Neighbor White Elephant Santa game with a copy of the movie The Secret of Nim on DVD, which I didn't already own, so I was happy to get it. It's just hilarious because it was obviously, you know, a, you know, re-release on DVD where they basically try to make the cover of the movie look like it's yet another happy children's cartoon movie.
Oh,
you know, that
it isn't?
That
it, you know, I don't know anything about it.
You should see it. I mean, it's probably Don Bluth's greatest work. But
what is some of his other works?
It's American Tale, Land Before Time, like the first one, the actual good one with high quality animation.
I never
animation.
Saw that one.
American Tale 2, Rockadoodle. I know there's probably at least one other really big significant one I'm forgetting. But
I might have seen American Tale.
All Dogs Go to Heaven.
I did see that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Josh ended up with a phone cord that he was really excited about. Not. If we knew who actually wrapped a phone cord and tried to pass that off as a Christmas gift, we would be openly mocking them.
Because that isn't even, like, a gag gift. That's just, you know, I'm going to give something that is literally useless unless... You still have a landline, and you need to connect something that's three feet away from something else, and you were too lazy to go to Radio Shack.
I found someone to dump it off on. Actually, I have the former Fat Boys CD, if I ever find that bag.
Oh, cool, yeah.
Amongst all my other stuff that we have moved. So, tell us about your Christmas.
Christmas was good. Drove down to St. Louis to spend it with Sarah's in-laws the 23rd and 24th. With Sarah's dad looking very much like Santa Claus, you know, they are, you know, way super uber Christmassy. In fact, they have one of those rotating Christmas tree stands so that, you know, the tree can constantly be, you know, in a state of spinning.
Oh, those are kind of cool.
Yeah, Sarah wanted to get one for ourselves and one to give to our mom, or to my mom. And she wasn't able to find them last year, so she's gonna try to hunt them down again this year.
Well, first you need to get the lights on the green strings so that you can put the lights on the outside of the tree.
Yeah, yeah, and oh yeah, that was the other thing. We have a live, or not really live; it's dead now, but a for real Christmas tree as opposed to a artificial one in the house. And it's the first time in my life I've had, you know, a for real Christmas tree in the place I was living. So that was
mean since you were a kid, right, I assume?
No, like ever. When we were a kid, we only had artificial trees.
Oh.
So I've never lived in a place where we had a real tree. So it was a new experience for me.
We used to get real trees when I was a kid, when I was a littler kid. Then my mom got an artificial one. Is there anything else you want to say about Christmas? Talk about your haul?
I got the video game Epic Mickey for Wii from my in-laws, which is like... I'm like a level and a half into it, and I'm already like squeeing like the total Disney nerd that I am.
Yeah.
I mean, because the whole, here's the premise of this game, and I have to love, it was probably some marketing person saying, God, there's all this stuff Disney made that like is obscure and nobody ever's heard of, but we have the rights to it. What if we could take all that obscure shit nobody's heard of and nobody cares about anymore and figure out a premise to release it as a video game so that, you know, we can take advantage of owning the licenses to all this rare, obscure stuff.
Yeah.
So they basically built a game around that, you know, put Mickey Mouse in as the lead character. But it's kind of like, you know, in video games when you're playing a character, but the character never actually, like, speaks or has a voice. It's just kind of, you know, this narrative, and they'll have cutscenes where it's just, like, little text dialogue or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, it's like, the whole game takes place in this alternate universe where Oswald the Lucky Rabbit was the character that mattered as opposed to Mickey Mouse, because there was a character named Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, which Walt Disney created before Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
And once Mickey was created and became popular, Oswald got left behind and forgotten. And so the premise of the game is that Oswald is, you know, bitter and bummed out about that, and he kind of rules this land full of forgotten and unloved Disney characters.
Yeah.
But the whole land is set up to be essentially a parody of the real Walt Disney World and Disneyland.
Yeah.
So the first level you fight through to get to the hub of the park is based on It's a Small World. And the lead boss is like the smiling clock tower from the ride, except it goes all demented and huge robot arms shoot off the side and try to smash you. So anyway, I went on too far with that explanation, but it's a cool game thus far and I'm happy with it. They also gave me A Bug's Life and Cars and the Pixar Short Films Collection, so now I have all the Pixar films except for Toy Story 3. And then, you know, drove to my mom's house for Christmas Day. We got there much later in the day than we usually do, but by the time we got there, my uncle and aunt had showed up and we all had Christmas dinner together.
Yeah.
And then opened the gifts after that. And my mom, we had all pitched in and got my mom a 22-inch flat-screen TV for her kitchen.
Yeah.
All the siblings kind of pitched in for it. And
yeah.
Sarah picked it up. And then my mom went and bought Amy a 32-inch flat-screen TV for her as a gift. So it was like, you get a TV! And you get a TV! Everybody gets
yeah.
a TV!
And then, your sister and your mom live together, so...
Yeah. Because it was great.
That's what makes it funnier.
Amy's setting up this whole thing with us and the siblings and calling us regularly. And then one day my mom calls me, I'm thinking of getting a flat-screen TV for Amy. Would you and Sarah happen to know what a good brand would be? You know, when she and I literally just researched that for getting one for her.
Yeah.
So that was kind of funny.
That is funny.
And, of course, there was the usual barrage of random things my mom has found at antique stores and Goodwills over the past year.
Yeah.
So it's like VHS of Creature from the Black Lagoon. It's like, oh, I'm never going to watch this. But, you know, it really isn't about the gifts. And, of course, after opening the gifts, my mom, of course, gets out the slide projector so that we can look at slides from the past. And, that was another significant thing.
I still want to see that video of you that you talked about at Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah,
you
the special
and
bear.
The special bear.
It tells stories. No, it's just a bear. It's just a bear. That's awesome. One more brief thing I forgot to mention. When I was at Sarah's mom and dad's place, I got to see pictures of Sarah from age younger than age 20.
Oh, that's right, because you hadn't seen any.
Yeah, for the first
shocked.
Time. So I basically had to like get there and be like, so where are all these photos of Sarah as a child that I've never seen? And she's like, don't show them. And they're like, oh, they're right here. And they pulled them out. So they aren't anywhere near as bad and embarrassing as she makes them out to be. And, you know, she was a cute kid, but there are definitely at least a few photos where, you know, it's like her mom...
Blackmail material.
Well, you saw her at the wedding. Her mom has kind of that, you know, permy 80s mom fro,
yeah.
you know, a little bit.
Yeah.
So her mom has had that since the 80s. So
yeah.
There's pictures of her as a, like, 12-year-old, you know, with her mom's, you know, with her hairdo being just like her mom's 80s mom fro, wearing the frames of her glasses are just like her mom's glasses back then and today. That same kind of oversized-y, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, she did have some braces, you know, at one point. So I did see one photo. It's like, all right, that's a pretty bad, awkward thing. But, I still think it's not nearly as potentially, you know,
horrifying
as the picture of me. At least that's my opinion. So,
well, you're biased.
But I got to see a bunch of pictures of her from her, you know, adolescence, yeah. And she was a cute kid.
I couldn't imagine I can't even imagine marrying someone I had never seen a picture of them when they were a kid. I've seen all the pictures of Josh with a mullet, and Josh with a buzz cut, and Josh with another mullet, and another buzz cut, and Josh when he's like 80 pounds heavier than he is now, and looks like Bill Putt. Everybody thinks he looks like Bill Putt when he was heavier. Anyways, I'm going to talk about my life.
Okay.
So I moved to Lombard. And,
yay!
It's kind of weird, you know, the house is really nice, so I'm really liking it. Josh has been really loving on the house, and he's been, like, last Thursday anyways, when I was gone all day, he did tons of unpacking. I came home, and the Christmas tree was up, and a string of Christmas lights, and that was much to my surprise. I didn't think there was any chance in hell of us doing any Christmas decorating at all. And he did that, and then the next day was Christmas Eve, so I, you know, put up a bunch of ornaments and using zip ties because that's what we had. And also, they keep the ornaments on nicely. I'm a little worried about getting them off, but
that's like a Tim Allen Home Improvement, like, oh, zip ties. We'll keep them on there.
Well, they do. They're multicolored,
too. And that's the plan you go with if your intention is to not take them off and just keep it set that way. Put the tree in your basement exactly as is so you don't have to bother with redecorating it next year.
I might not have any choice. So I ended up getting all kinds of Christmas decorations out. And this is really by far the Christmassiest that any, you know, in my adult life, ever since I left my mom's, you know, of any residence I've ever been in, even though there's still, you know, bins all over the place with all my belongings in it. I guess I'll come back to the moving stuff. So our Christmas Eve was really nice. Me and Josh, it was snowing, so we didn't make the effort to go to the city to go see a movie with Tanya like we were supposed to. And then we didn't end up seeing a movie at all. So I still actually haven't seen Harry Potter. And I'm not sure there wasn't that many places showing it last weekend. So I'm kind of hoping they'll keep it out for one more weekend because it's New Year's weekend.
I'm sure
they will.
It's a
pretty big movie weekend. Yeah. But I'm hoping.
I'm sure they will.
I got to remember to make that a priority this weekend because at this point I think my brain has just given up on it. But so we didn't get to see any movies on Christmas Eve. We went out to Olive Garden, which I'd only been to Olive Garden one other time, so I kind of associated it with Christmas because it had been for a Christmas party. So, you know, I'm not really doing Weight Watchers right now. I'm kind of saving that for January 3rd. So I just kind of, we went to Olive Garden, we pigged out, we, you know, came home, we opened our presents, which I had been hoarding not only presents from Josh and my presents to him, but I hoarded my presents from my grandparents, presents from Jared Perez, presents from Luke and Sarah, all hoarded so that I could open them at the same time. So we did this, and Josh was like little kid mode. He wanted to open everything really fast, and I dragged it out for hours because I kept getting, I have to go out to the car and see if I can find that white chocolate. Oh, I'm sorry, I have to go to the bathroom again. Oh, I have to go get a drink. I have to go look for my gum. I have to go see if I can find this other thing. You know, like, I have to find your card. I wrote a really nice Christmas card out for Josh that still hasn't been found. And then we drove to Park Ridge, and I was in a late night Christmas service there where I was singing in the choirs, and there's lots of Christmassy music and a pretty good sermon actually from where the pastor kind of makes a good argument in favor of Christmas against like atheists and what was the other group?
Against agnostics?
No, atheists and Puritans. who, you know, people who know that, okay, yeah, like, really, Christ wasn't actually born on December 25th, sorry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually made kind of an argument against it without saying, oh, well, it's because they're wrong and he was born that day. I mean, he admitted that Jesus wasn't born that day, and he didn't even make an argument against the atheists by saying that they're wrong about God or anything. He was just making an argument for Christmas existence by saying, well, you know, we need something to hold on to, the light in the darkness. We need something mm-hmm. to make us feel good when it's cold and dark and blah, blah, blah. Only he said it better. And, like, then we had candles all over the church and, like, the lights were dimmed and everybody was just holding candles. Luckily, in the choir, I was holding a fake candle because that would have freaked me the fuck out to hold a real candle and sheet music, and my house burned down when I was a kid, and yeah. And then Christmas Day, my dad came into town, and we picked him up at the airport, and then Josh got to do work on Christmas Day at the airport, yay. And we drove into the city and had kind of a Jewish Christmas, I guess, because we went out to eat at a restaurant, which was Ann Sather, which is one of the awesomest restaurants, 3 blocks from my apartment, my former apartment now. And then we went and saw Tron. Me and my husband, my dad, and my friend James all went to Evanston to see Tron. And it's a pretty damn good Christmas, even though it's the first time I've been away from my mom and Minnesota on Christmas. As for moving, it's just been I really like the house and the commute, so that makes it a lot easier. But Lombard's kind of like a foreign country to me, like more so than like going to Canada. It's just like, wow, what's after the next strip mall? Holy shit, it's another strip mall. Look, no, it's not in that strip mall. It's in the strip mall 3 strip malls down. You know, it's very, very, very different from what I'm used to in the city, where everything's just, I just like roll
what's
out of...
What's that Starbucks? Oh, next to that, another Starbucks. No, I mean a different Starbucks.
What are you talking about? That's anywhere. That's in the city or in the suburbs. Same as 7-Eleven. But no, like, from my apartment, I could have, like, rolled out the door and rolled to a really good restaurant. I would have never had to get on my feet. And so, you know.
Burn down Clark Street. I would like a pony and some cheese.
Josh said he wanted a pony. Josh was texting me. He said, I want a pony, frowny face. So, and I wanted to mention my really cool neighbors. I already forgot how to pronounce their name, but, and we haven't actually met them yet, but they have the, like, coolest Christmas lights display I've ever seen. It, you know, at first glance, it's just like, oh, that's annoying how it flashes all the time, and it's just, like, randomly flashing. But then when you drive right by it, there's a sign that says, "Hear the lights at 107.3 FM, and you tune in your radio, and there's a shortwave radio where you can hear several different Christmas songs, including
Trans-Siberian Orchestra's
version of Carol of the Bells, and there's that Pachelbel Bell thing, the Christmas Canon, and unfortunately there's Christmas Shoes on there too, and another rock version of What Child Is This, and like some other things, and they're all synced up with the lights, so it's hard to explain, and I'm hoping that I can find a YouTube video of it, maybe.
Well, yeah, there's YouTube videos of people having done that type of thing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I was hoping to find a specific YouTube video of that specific house, but it's like 3 doors down in Kitty Corner from here, so, you know, every single night we've been driving by that and tuning into 107.3 and checking that out, and it's just about the coolest Christmas lights thing I've ever personally seen. So, that's that. Is it time to go into this first song?
Yeah, but before that, I have one more gifty for you.
Oh, I forgot.
From me and Sarah. So.
I didn't talk about my haul. Josh, I guess my biggest thing was Josh paid $400 of Ticketmaster gift certificates so we can go to a show at Broadway in Chicago.
Cool.
And I think we're going to Wicked, but we had trouble booking it online, so he's got to go there in person tomorrow. And we also got, I'm going to mess up the name, Josh, what's the name of that TV thing we got?
Roku. Oh, Roku.
Okay, we got Roku. We're not getting cable because we're experimenting. We also don't even have cable internet. We have Wi-Fi internet, and instead of cable, we have Roku, so we can watch all kinds of neat things on Roku.
Yeah, Steph has a Roku. She thinks it's totally awesome.
And I got other nifty things too, like cat cubes.
You need yes.
And a necklace.
Yes.
And what is this? I get another gifty.
Another gifty from Sarah and I.
Aww. Josh. Josh, come here.
We now pause while we get Josh, the husband.
Oh, sweet.
It's a picture of me and Josh dancing all romantic-like at Luke and Sarah's wedding, and it's in a frame at 8.5 or 8x10 picture frame, and it's really awesome.
That is awesome.
And
he says, that is awesome.
Here is a bonus print for you.
Nice. Thank you. Aw.
Yeah, yes. Sarah.
Your mom's going to love this, Josh. Let's wait till she sees this.
Sarah had done a special express order to get a bunch of prints so that we could give some pictures to my mom and her mom and stuff. And then when we left for Christmas, we totally forgot to bring them with us.
Yeah.
So we still need to give the rest to everybody else.
Oh, really? So yeah. We're the first ones to get them?
Yep.
Are they going to be on the Facebook server?
Well, wait, Josh, stick around for just another second because I want to find out about Josh's gift that I helped.
Oh, okay. So, last Christmas, I gave you my heart. I'm sorry. Last Christmas, I bought on DVD seasons 1 through 3 of the really, really awesome, hilarious sitcom Scrubs, and we didn't start really getting into it until the last couple months, and now. It was really just a thing for Josh, because Josh seemed to love Scrubs whenever it was on, but now we're both really into Scrubs. And we're almost done with season 3. And so I decided, well, I think I can afford it. I'm going to get him the rest of the series for this Christmas. I got him seasons 4 through 9. And I ended up having them delivered to Luke and Sarah's house and buying them on Amazon.com, because that's where they were the cheapest. And most available. And so I'm asking them for suggestions on how to wrap them so that he won't be able to tell what it is. I'm not going to wrap them all individually because that'll be too obvious and no fun. And I'm like, yeah, I want to wrap them really tight so he can't tell what it is and thinks it's like some electronics or something. And first Sarah suggested, oh, you could throw an ugly sweater on top of it and make him think that's what the gift is. So I repeated this later to Luke, and he's like, no, you should get actual Scrubs to put on it. And since it was going to be at Luke's house, and Luke was... Sorry, I kicked the mic stand. And Luke was willing to wrap it for me. He was kind enough to go and... Hi, Willow. He was kind... This is going to distract from the story.
That's what Willow does.
Willow, no. This is not good podcasting. Put her down. It's not as funny as Luke's pretending.
Sorry,
Willow.
Kara doesn't love you.
What is going on with her tummy? Oh my god. Can I see her?
And now it's time for Cat Rash Examination with Carrie Dalby here on Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Dear God. Oh my god, it's gotten way worse.
It's the same size.
No, but it's gotten a lot redder. Oh dear God. She needs...
Unexplained rash.
So, anyways, now that the story's been interrupted and
mission
now...
Mission accomplished.
I think my levels are too high. Josh opened the present, and the first thing he sees is this pair of Scrubs, which Luke paid for and didn't ask for any money for him. And, He's just like laughing. He's like, He totally still doesn't get it.
No, I'm kind of slow.
I don't know what he's special. I don't know if he thought there's some medical textbooks in there or something.
This is some new role playing costume for him.
It could be.
And yeah, he actually Luke got him in a size
for the house LARP. Yay!
Luke got him in a size that looks like it would actually fit Josh too. And then he saw, oh, it's the TV show Scrubs. And I think he liked it.
Oh yes.
We still have to finish season 3. Is our DVD player set up yet? Not so much.
The PS3 is going to be hooked up. I'm just looking for the little controller thing, so I'll
okay.
be able to do that.
If I hadn't been so busy like running around helping you guys move and doing a bunch of other stuff, I was tempted to go like to a Toys R Us so I could hunt down like a little toy stethoscope, so it could have been like the full, you know,
yeah,
the full medical, you know.
I have thing. A toy stethoscope. I just don't know where it is.
So
now it's time to go into the first song.
Okay. And
finally, like 40 minutes into the podcast. So this is dedicated to my late and beloved friend, Mary DiCasola, since this song would quite literally not exist if she hadn't not only thought up the idea but sang it to me at work. But it's not like, oh, you really need to record this because I have this great idea that you should record for me. You know, it wasn't like that at all. Mary made up this song idea, like, just because it was about me, and she would sing it at me, and that's when I realized I should record it. No. So, since it would not exist without her, here is Road Tripper by me, Carrie Dalby.
Gave me a scare now, but I'm a road tripper. Don't need no ticket, no. It took me so long to ride out, but I rode out. Baby, you can drive my car. Yes, I'm gonna be a star. Baby, you can drive my car, and maybe I'll love you.
Hi.
I has a dishwasher and a garbage disposal that works in my house now.
Yay!
Thanks to my in-laws, but we'll get into that later. CSC, that stands for Comedy Sports.
Okay.
So I got hired for a caricature gig that coincidentally happened to be happening at the Milwaukee location of Comedy Sports, the improv chain, and Milwaukee is the, like, original team. And I'd only visited that particular location once before when I happened to be in Milwaukee, and I wanted to see what the new location looked like because I hadn't been there since they had moved away from the previous location. So it was cool to go back there, and I got to see a Comedy Sports show, and I was hoping I would run into some people I knew from back in the day. Judging by the pictures on the wall of the current roster, there's a handful of them that are still there who were my mentors way back then, but I didn't really see anyone I recognized. But when I first got there and I was kind of waiting to check in with the people who I was drawing with, I saw this person there that, you know how a Segway looks, right? You know, where people are standing on it with the two big wheels.
Yeah.
Okay, so this guy...
I've been on them at Gen Con.
Yes.
Gen Con SoCal.
So this person looked to have either something wrong with his legs or his legs were amputated or something to that effect. And he had, you know, a wheelchair, but it wasn't like a regular wheelchair. It was much more like a Segway where he was situated up high so that he was more like, you know, at a height where if somebody's standing is looking at him in the eyes and talking instead of looking down at somebody sitting in a chair.
Yeah.
And the wheels on it were much more beefy than a Segway looked. It was kind of like the Tim Allen, you know, more power, you know. Yeah, exactly. And so the first thing I notice about the person is that situation with the chair. I'm like, oh, yeah. And, you know, the guy's, you know, got some weight on him. And, you know, I looked at him briefly and I'm like, oh, that guy kind of looks like Angelo Farina. And, you know, and then I kind of immediately dismissed that, you know,
Angelo Farina equals guy you knew from there?
Yeah.
Okay.
When the very first time I started doing stand-up, when I was 15 years old in Milwaukee, there was a four-person improv and sketch troupe called Brady Street that performed at the Comedy Cafe, which was located on Brady Street. And it was made up of Angelo, who also went by the name Blaze, a guy named Bruce, a guy named John Poleznik, who later went on to teach me at Comedy Sports and be a mentor, and a guy named Joe Cortese, who later went on to, you know, kind of be a mentor and a really good friend and stuff. He was incredibly hilarious. And in fact, he was friends with Rob Schraub in the Scud comics. The name of the mafia family is the Cortese family.
Oh.
And one of the Cortese family members was named Joe, so it was, like, really nice. Anyway, so I saw him, that looks like Angelo. Like, nah, that couldn't be Angelo. And, you know, went on with my day. And then later on, like halfway through the Comedy Sports show, and if you haven't seen Comedy Sports, it's like Whose Line Is It Anyway, but they got people off on the side playing music and doing sound effects and announcements through a booth. And the guy who handles the sound effects and the announcements is a guy that they just call Mr. Voice. So halfway through the show, it's like, oh, on keyboards, we got a blah, blah, blah person who I'd never heard of, and they applaud. And Mr. Voice tonight is Angelo Farina! And I'm like, wait, Angelo's here? Is that the guy I saw out there? Because Angelo was, you know, a tall, you know, not super skinny, but not really overweight guy. And yes, he had legs, and he was a dude. I mean, hell, he used to be Ronald McDonald. He used to go to McDonald's all over the southeastern Wisconsin area and play Ronald. As you know, Joe did that too, and so did AJ, another comedy mentor of mine.
Wow.
So
he gained a lot of weight and couldn't use his legs anymore.
Well, so, yeah, but I was still like, was that him? Because the way they had Mr. Voice set up, you couldn't really see into the booth. So I'm like, maybe he looks the way I expect him to look, and that other guy was just a weird fluke. And I wasn't able to get over to see him, to see if it was him or not. And after the show ended, I had to run in the back and start doing my caricature gig. So at one point during the gig, when I took a break to run out and grab a soda at the bar, I'm like, hey, is Angelo Farina still around in there? And they're like, oh, I'm not sure. Usually he takes off right away after shows are over. And as I'm asking them about, is he around, I'm trying to pick up on any hints, like, you know, that indicate, like, he is a dude in a weird wheelchair thing now.
Yeah.
But nobody said anything. So, but I have him friended on Facebook. And I've, you know, I never stopped to really delve into looking into his profile, but once I got home, I looked into it, and I saw it was him.
Oh, wow.
And I called and talked to my mom, because I know she stops by there once in a while, and I'm like, do you know what potentially was up with Angelo? Because it's something apparently happened to him, and I guess it had something to do with diabetes. and complications with that thereof, and that's how he got to that point. And it was just really weird for me to see this person who, in my mind, was this dude, like, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. So, I mean, it's like, you
that's
know.
That's deep, man.
It's deep. I mean, it makes me very happy to, you know, think of folks like you who obviously know what the situation is with you health-wise, and you know, make efforts and you eat right and you take care of yourself so that you don't end up like that.
And, yeah, not everybody does, and it shouldn't make you happy about people like me. It should make you scared.
Well, it's, you know.
I mean, I'm worried about you. I'm really worried about Sarah once I found out about her family history. It's like, it's, you want to work to, this is the thing you want to work to avoid. This thing that's hooked to my body 24/7.
Yeah, but you've been taking care of yourself for as long as I've known you, so, you know.
Not as good as I could.
No. Anyway, so that was that story, was just finding out, you know, that about him, and it's, if I ever go back there to see another show and I run into him again, at least now I can walk up and be like, you know, hey, Angelo, how's it going, and say hi to him and not, and know that that's him.
Yeah.
And hopefully be able to have a conversation with him that isn't about, like, so what horrible thing happened to you, you know?
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to have to force him to have to retell me the story of however he specifically got there. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, did he know who you were when you were talking?
I'm pretty sure he saw me there, but I don't know if he...
You and him, he didn't talk directly.
We didn't talk directly. He may have gotten a split second of eye contact with me and... You know, I mean, I've obviously gained a bunch of weight since the last time he saw me, so maybe he didn't recognize me, you know, or maybe he didn't, was trying to avoid me, so
yeah.
I don't know. I guess I won't find out about that anytime soon. So, in the last podcast, I was harassing Ian about remembering there was a third thing I wanted to talk about, and then we didn't talk about it. So, this is the third thing. Going back to the curmudgeonly talk about, you know... The attitudes young people have about how if things aren't for free, they aren't worth it, or, you know, they don't want to pay for blah, 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 blah. I was thinking about how every time you watch Star Trek, and I guess for me I mainly talk about Next Generation, but it kind of applies to the original series too, like how every so often they'll bring up money or something like that, and they'll be like, you know, oh, well, we've grown as a society and moved beyond the, you know... the impulse to, you know, collect monetary goods or blah, blah. Basically, they're just like, you know, we're a much more evolved people now. Money isn't something we concern ourselves with. And, you know, races like the Ferengi, who are all about collecting latinum and making money.
Yeah.
You know, they're, like, not as evolved and not as enlightened and stuff like that. So it's like, it just occurred to me, it's like, well, how do we get from today to this evolved, enlightened future that Star Trek has, where you see scenes of, you know, Wesley Crusher and his mom walking through some alien planet's mall, and she's like, oh, this fabric is pretty. I'll take 3 yards of this. But nobody ever exchanges money. So it's like, how do you... It's weird... It's just like, oh, we...
You know, something that's more real... a fictional setting that's more realistic is Idiocracy, not Star Trek.
Well, I guess
we don't
guess
get to that point in Star Trek.
In terms of Star Trek, I guess when you've hit a point in society where everybody has matter replicators, where food is not like, you know, it's like, oh, I can just punch a button and magically a Chipotle burrito appears here, wing, and then you eat it. You know, it's when you don't have to worry about spending money on food because it's in the magical food box that
you guys are never gonna.
Food.
You guys are never gonna let me live down that we went to Noodles and Company instead of Chipotle at the last second tonight.
Oh, it's okay. It's not like the you know, Chipotle was, you know, in the same building.
It wasn't. It was next door. Go away.
And now a very tall man in scrubs leers in from the hallway.
You said we were going to Chipotle. You lie.
The original plan was to go to my favorite fast food restaurant, Potbelly. Then I decided that would be too fattening, and they convinced me to go to Chipotle where I would get a salad and it wouldn't be so fattening. And that's Luke and Josh's favorite restaurant. And then right next door to Chipotle, I said, oh, Noodles and Company, let's go. And then Luke pulled in there, and we kind of thought we could go to either one, but there was no sidewalk over to Chipotle, so we went to Noodles and Company, and they're both mad.
It would have involved walking around a building, you know, which would have taken like...
It was cold!
A minute.
It was
a
cold!
Minute.
Cold!
It's not even that cold today.
You guys...
Compared to the past 2 weeks, it is not that cold today.
I'm sorry. I am a woman. I weigh 170 pounds, and I... The cold gets to me a lot more than it did.
Go to the Noodles and Company. Apparently, Royal Kerry has like a retarded Scooby-Doo dog or something.
Fuck off.
Anyway, I do like Noodles and Company.
The snort of subconsciousness.
Yes. So anyway,
self-consciousness. Not subconsciousness.
I think we just named this podcast.
The snort. The snort of subconsciousness.
The snort of subconsciousness is my Snuffleupagus cover band. So, getting back to my talk about Star Trek, remember that 27 years ago? We must pay for things, but we have no money. We've moved upon and evolved as people. I just want a goddamn burrito.
God, you know what would be a fun podcast guest, Earl? That would be so cool.
Oh, Earl would be epic.
I hate to steal the Scopes podcast guest, but...
I love their New Year's Eve special it was the episode 100 special where they had they kept calling celebrities and every time it was Earl on the phone upstairs.
Yeah, that was pretty epic.
It's the font. Hey!
Hey, we complimented a podcast other than Flat 29.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I've always said the Scope is awesome.
Look, that doesn't look very good.
Thescopeshow.com. Don't worry about it.
thescopeshow.com.
Yes. So yeah, just basically I was thinking about, well, how do we get from where we are now in society to this future Star Trek land where nobody actually has money and yet everyone can still get whatever they need at any time? And I thought, well, maybe this is the first step. Maybe people stealing shit on the internet, you know, maybe Napster is the beginning point of us leading to a society where nobody pays for anything because money doesn't exist anymore because everyone just takes everything for free.
But then there's like, you know, everybody's clothes is made out of like logo fabric like Idiocracy because that's the only way that companies can survive.
Most of my stuff has logos on it anyway.
I wish I could get some of that fabric and it would be so awesome to make an Idiocracy costume to wear at conventions.
That would be cool.
They
already have Brondo.
So, it'd be time for song number two.
Yeah, song number two. And this song is a new one by Judy Tenuta. And it's a good song. It's not a great song. It's weird because there's a music video for it on YouTube. It's a parody of Lady Gaga. And to me, it almost feels like she almost made this video in response to Julie Brown making her video for Another Drunk Chick.
Weird. I haven't seen either video, so...
Well, the thing with Another Drunk Chick is that video actually has, like, some production to it and, like, stuff. This new video by Judy Tenuta is all basically her in front of a green screen with a bunch of, you know, different projections behind her. I mean, it does have good costumes. She dresses up in various Lady Gaga and Madonna-type outfits and other celebrities that she mentions in the song. You know, and she looks good, but it's... Whenever I see a video that's just... like a person in front of a green screen and that's the whole thing, unless there's a specific real point or art to it, I just always kind of feel like, well, that was pretty cheap, you know?
Mystery Spatula Theater.
Yeah, but no, there's a specific point to what we're doing with that, you know? It's like stealing like a Hobbit music video. I had Matt help me with like three or four really short green screen things because it was the best way to get across the joke I was trying to do with that particular moment in the video, and they were all just very short 3 or 4 second bursts. But when you know, I don't know. You'll just have to see the video.
So now that you guys are totally not excited for the song, here is...
Well, and I also want to say, and I'm not, it's dumb for me to like kind of critique a song like this and then play it, but if you listen to the background music, it's just like the production isn't very well. I don't think she's singing...
Isn't very good.
She isn't singing at as well as I'm sure she could sing if she put more of an effort to it, and the background music sounds like she stole a karaoke track instead of recorded it from something, because it's a parody of the Telephone song, and in the background you can hear people saying, "To telephone, to telephone." It's like, if she was making this parody from scratch, you wouldn't need to, you know, it just, I don't know.
Is she still making a living off of comedy, or is this like a side gig nowadays?
I'm assuming she's still making a living off of comedy, as far as I know. I mean, She's still, you know, one of my all-time favorite, you know, female comedians, and if this is like just, oh, another reason why I think it might be a answer somewhat to Julie Brown's is that she has the other Julie Brown from MTV, the one that hosted Club MTV, the black chick.
Yeah.
So that Julie Brown is in the video with Judy Tenuta.
Okay.
And to my knowledge, those two people never worked together before. So it's like, why do you have her in your video now? She has nothing to do with Lady Gaga or anything else going on. It was very non sequitur.
Now, how long is this song, approximately?
It's, just a regular length, 3 minutes, four minutes.
Okay, so skip ahead 3 or 4 minutes, and we'll talk to you then.
It's worth listening to. It is funny. And it is worth seeing the video, too. It's funny. I'm just doing the critique, damn it, because it's a funny music podcast type of thing. And now here is Judy Tenuta with a new song that is worthy.
Just love to hide my face, cover it all up with crap like I'm from outer space. Talk just like a baby, goo goo gaga, ooh la la. And pretty soon you'll figure out Madonna is my ma.
Madonna is my ma. Madonna is my ma. I popped out on the dance floor, I'm wearing her bra bra. Madge has beckoned in her bustier, she's gonna pray. And me and her boy toy Jesus are voguing, eh, eh. We gotta hop inside her limo, Lindsay's driving C. And she cannot stop drinking while she's kinda tipsy. She's falling like a virgin out on the floor. She left her head and her pants on the dance floor. Stop crawling, stop falling, drive yourself to rehab once more. She shaved her head. Close the damn car door. I'm telephoning the paparazzi. I'm telephoning the paparazzi.
You can pose all you want, Paris Hilton Stone, but she's not gonna get Madonna's comb. I'm out of the club and he's got a big chub, but he's not gonna lick Madonna's combs. Crawl all you want, roll out on the phone, but you're not gonna lick my hot rock cones. I'm out with the stud and he's got a big chub, but he's not gonna lick my hot rock cones.
The way you tripping on the phone makes me call my pastor. Suck your blood much faster, your skin is white as Casper. Should've left your coke at home, your mugshot's a disaster. Call the damn director, but that bitch will not answer.
It's true, I do not like you, and it is my party. And I am sick and tired of your tootin', eh, eh.
Sometimes I eat bananas cause I need potassium. And I am bumping bumps tonight with Kim Kardashian. Kim Kardashian. Kim Kardashian. The press loves that I got big gold. Madonna is my mom. Madonna is my mom. Madonna is my mom.
I'm out with the stud and he's got a big chub, but he's not gonna lick my hot rock home.
I'm dancing with my ga 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 ga
And now it's time for...
By Devo Spice, visit devospice.com, compiled by roving reporter Carrie Whitney, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove it innocent, cause it makes it so to me that you incriminate.
Thanks to Kyle Hudson for submitting the first three stories this week. Near Hutto, Texas, just before 3 a.m., the Taylor Police Department responded to an alarm call at City National Bank. Within 5 minutes of the call, a suspect was arrested. When police arrived, they found glass broken at the bank's main entrance, but the suspect hadn't made it past the first teller booth. He was there eating M&Ms, said Taylor Police Captain David Clausen. A, quote, small amount of marijuana, unquote, was also found in his possession. So the lesson here for you wannabe criminals is to make sure you get a full meal in before your robbery, and avoiding the reefer beforehand is probably also a good idea. It turns out the robber broke in just so he could get the green ones.
In Wyoming, two men at the Fireside Bar and Lounge, ages 41 and 43, started a fight at the bar when the bar's kitchen staff forgot to put ranch dressing on an order of fries. One of the men punched a man and a woman, the other man put a woman in a headlock and was tasered. They are arrested on suspicion of misdemeanor assault. Now they are in jail, where they can toss people salads where the dressing may look like ranch, but is totally not ranch.
They're stupid, and they're unbelievably cocky. This next criminal is both. He broke into the house of Mark Fisher, a reporter and editor at the Washington Post, living with his wife and son in Washington, D.C. While in there, he stole Mark's new winter coat, Mark's son's laptop, iPod, cash from his son's desk, and some savings bonds. Here's where the cocky and stupid part comes in. Before leaving the house, the thief opened the laptop and used the built-in camera to take a picture of himself, face unobstructed, wearing the coat and holding the cash, and then uploaded it to his son's Facebook page. I'm just going to let that sink in for a few seconds. Yeah. I've seen a lot, but this is the most stupid criminal I've ever seen, marveled D.C. Police Officer Kyle Rowe, who stayed with Mark and his family for hours while they waited for the crime scene technician, who painstakingly lifted dozens of fingerprints from nearly every room in the house. Full frontal photo, one officer said. That's pretty great. You can read the full story on the Washington Post website, where the reporter appears to be underwhelmed by the police's response so far, but at least reports that Facebook acted quickly to shut down the burglar's access to his son's account. I guess it's a step up from the suspect's previous robbery updates on Twitter. At CockyThief2010, I'm in your house stealing your stuff. LOL pwned noobs raffle hashtag evidence.
And finally, in Clemson, South Carolina, shout out to Carl Albrecht, a man has taken live-action role-playing games to the next level after being hospitalized when he was hit by an SUV while playing a real-life version of the video game Frogger. As you all know, in the classic 80s arcade video game Frogger, players move frogs through traffic on a busy road. Chief Jimmy Dixon said the man had been discussing the game with his friends. He then yelled, "Go!" and darted into oncoming traffic on a four-lane highway. Here's audio of the accident. Authorities said the 23-year-old man was taken to a hospital in Anderson after he was struck. No charges are expected against the driver. The name of the man who was struck has not been released, though a good guess would be Kermit. He was in stable condition Monday night, and upon release from the hospital, he plans to climb up the building under construction to get his girlfriend back from that gorilla who kidnapped her. People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
Game over, man! Game over!
This has been News of the Stupid.
Yay!
And now we go on to more professional podcastery.
Well, actually, I'll flip it. I'll do the other thing first. I had started this series of talking about bullies from my past, and Carrie and I have come to the conclusion that it's probably better if I just kind of let this all go, because the origin of talking about it is based on some pretty horrific real tragedy in this world, and
we've got some pretty painful memories. I know I in particular, I'm sure I could have some really horrifying stories if I actually really wanted to think about it, and I don't really want to think about it I don't particularly want to talk about it either. Let's just say, you know, bullies were 51% of the reason why my childhood sucked, and parents were only 49% of the reason.
Yeah. So, but I had some other names I had written down, so I'm going to try to sum each of these people up in about a couple of sentences, just because I feel like I want to out them as the assholes they were. Someone from junior high school, this guy named Danny Soika. I can't give him, I don't know, nothing really specific or unique about him, just a typical guy who used to, you know, make fun of me and beat me up because, you know, he was very much like Nelson from The Simpsons. Ironically, he is now, one of my cousins, Jeff, is married to his sister, so he's kind of a weird sort of relative of mine now, and the last couple of times I had to see him face-to-face, he was, like, nice to me because, like, oh, now we're sort of related or whatever. So it's like...
Yeah.
Whatever. There was a guy when I was in high school, I think it was sophomore year, I had to take, you know, a semester or two of a foreign language. So I chose Spanish because it seemed the easiest. And there was this guy in this class who was, like, a grade or two ahead of me named Derek Hedlund. And I always think of that name, like, Derek Hedlund in my head, just because he was such a fucking douchebag. And, you know, once again, he would just make fun of me and, you know, threaten me and beat me up in class for no reason. And, you know, during the summer, when I'm away from high school, I should have been, you know, able to avoid this kind of shit. But this one time I had to walk, I was walking through downtown Lake Geneva by myself, and he had a job apparently at one of the jet ski rental places just off the lake. And I'm walking down the street, and I walked by there, and he, like, specifically jumped down off of whatever wherever he was sitting and, like, ran up a thing and up the stairs just so we could get on the sidewalk and, like, you know, try to push me off the sidewalk by just, like, you know, doing that whole thing, like, not pushing me with his hands, but just, like, you know, standing there with his chest and kind of, like kind of forcing me to have to walk onto the street to get around him.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, where are you going? Where are you going? You know, calling me faggot or whatever the fuck, you know, he would call me. And I hope he's dead. Anyway, I hope all these guys are dead. I'm dark.
I think being alive being alive would be a greater punishment.
Anyway, guy named Tim Lennon, and this was a bully more about humiliation than about the physicalness of beating you up. He was one of the Richie Rich upper class type of, you know, douchebags that Lake Geneva is full of because it was founded by rich folks from Chicago who wanted a place to build a big house and have their yachts and go in the summer and brag about how rich they are. So, you know, us poor folks who came from towns like Pell Lake nearby, you know, we're just trash, which led to a lot of my sister's problems because she basically made her... The very short story on my sister is that once she got into junior high school, she did her best to make friends with all of these, like, snobby, upper-class, you know, rich girls, and they all became such good friends with her because she was, you know, a pretty blonde girl and boys liked her. And, you know, she pretty much stayed friends with them until at one point in high school when they all decided to shit all over her and say, we don't like you anymore, you're out of our clubhouse, and, you know, just... There's a reason why I think snobbery is, like, the worst fucking thing in the world. And it's evident in most of my work from high school, which if I ever chose to share it with people. Anyway, he was one of these types of assholes. And it wasn't like I said, he wasn't like beating me up. It'd be like he'd walk up to me and he'd start talking to me about for some reason. And it took me a while to get wise to this because it's the kind of thing you don't expect. It just comes from nowhere. And then after the third or fourth time, you realize if he's coming anywhere near me, I'm just going to have my arms ready for a block. Because what he would do is walk up to me, look me straight in the eyes, start talking to me about something, and then with his right hand, slap me in the face for no reason. So he'd be like, oh, so what are you going to do? Slap! You know, it's not even like, you know, I'm going to beat you up, I'm going to kick your ass. It'd just be like, you know, pretending he was friendly and going to talk to me about something. Slap! Slap in the face in front of everybody in gym class or wherever it was.
Wow.
He did that to me several times. And he's got a big, stupid triangle head, and he looks like a fucking Tim Burton nightmare covered with skin, and I hope he's dead.
Maybe, glad you can laugh about it. Maybe, if I could laugh about it, I might be able to talk about it.
Realistically, I don't wish these people were dead. It's one of those kind of bullshit John Hughesian fantasies where I could show up at my 20-year high school reunion and basically, you know, give these people shit for all the shit they gave me and fucked up my life.
Yeah.
You know, and show them like, you know, hey, I got an awesome wife. I got tons of awesome friends. I've reached such awesome goals in my life that I never thought I would. That may mean nothing to you, but mean the world to me, you know, so screw all of you. That's the what I really wish for them is for them to, you know, eat my shit because I ate theirs for so many fucking years.
My 10th high school reunion was awesome because I'd lost, like, so much weight. But, you know, my junior high is where I really got, I wouldn't even say bullied, I just harassed. I mean, bullied usually implies something physical. I just was, like, terribly, terribly, terribly teased and harassed in middle school. It was the worst.
So the last couple I'll mention is these two brothers. They weren't twins. It was kind of another one of those Catholic twin situations where they were born so quick one after the other. They might as well have been twins.
Yeah.
Their last name was Weber. And I know one of them was Adam Weber. And for some reason, I can't remember the other Weber brother's name. But... you know, and this kind of takes a step beyond the normal pain in the assness of high school into catechism class. It's Catholic school after school because we're all going to go get confirmed at age 15 or 16 because we all as high school kids are really interested in being a part of the Catholic Church.
Really? Okay.
Or more to the point, I might have had an interest in it because there was parts of my life when the church genuinely meant something to me, and I was trying to be something that was good and better and etc. But it was basically ruined because it was like, oh, these people who have been giving you shit and making fun of you all day in school, now you have to go to church and sit in a room and try to continue to care about Catholicism while these people continue to belittle you and make fun of you.
Yeah.
Now, and then, like, let's take it to the next bonus level of this video game. As part of the confirmation process, I had to go to a little camp for a weekend in Milwaukee with the other boys and girls I was in catechism with so that I could do all this important stuff that would prepare me for, you know, making the decision like, yes, I am making a decision as an adult to be part of the Catholic Church, which is what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
So one point in particular that will just, you know, stay with me forever is we're all supposed to just lay there and somebody was like talking. I guess you're just supposed to like lay there and meditate and I'm laying there with my eyes closed and they're like, you know, obviously within talking distance of me, and all they're saying constantly for like 10, 15 minutes was, Luke, use the force, Luke.
Oh my God.
Luke. Imagine having to sit there and, you know, hear that. I mean, I actually counted. I don't remember what the final number was, but at the time, I actually counted up the number of times they said that to me. And it was just, it was just hell because, you know, maybe I actually cared about my religion, but it got driven out of me between that and some other shit in my life. But it's like, I came here because, you know, yeah, I'm sure my parents are forcing me to be here, but part of me actually does care. But the difference, it's like the whole point, it's just the fucking irony. The whole point of these catechism and confirmation classes is you are making the decision as an adult human being at age 15 or 16 that, yes, I'm no longer here because my parents are forcing me. I'm here because I want to be here as a Catholic person through the rest of my adulthood. And the irony is that everyone's parents is forcing them to be there, and it's all a big fucking, you know, show thing.
Joke.
Because the Weber boys were on the Badger High football team, and they're big Jocko heads, you know, and, you know, God forbid that the Weber family look bad in the eyes of the rest of our little community Catholic church. Oh, it would be a scandal if they weren't in catechism class or if anybody else there who didn't give a fuck but was forced to be there was in catechism class.
Yeah.
So it was just, you know, they were one of the nails. They were two of the nails in the coffin, which is me giving a shit about being a good Catholic person for the rest of my life because it was like, yeah. So
this is more than the three sentences each thing.
Well, you know. It's a good cap on the thing so that we can put it all to bed.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
All right. So as a callback, oh wait, I forgot the other thing. So all right, the sleep situation is the note I wrote down. So right now, as I mentioned earlier, My father-in-law and my brother-in-law, my father-in-law is Gerald and my brother-in-law is Kurt, drove down to our place and have been there the past couple of days because a ways back during the summer, my mom gave Sarah and I a dishwasher, which has never been used.
Never has been used, but is old.
Yeah, it's at least a decade, if not more, old, but it's never been used. She bought it for her house and then figured out that she couldn't install it in her house because her house is 106 years old. Then she gave it to my brothers, JT and Mike, to put in their house, and then they couldn't figure out how to put it in or something was wrong or whatever. So they never used it. So it's just been sitting at my mom's house, not getting used, so she gave it to us. And we don't know how to install it. Sarah called various installers, and the first one she asked for a quote from said $750, and then each one after that kind of went up in price and how much it would cost to install it. So Gerald and Kurt, who are good at such things, offered to come out and spend a few days out here installing the dishwasher and also installing the new garbage disposal that they got Sarah and I as a Christmas gift. So, you know, that's all awesome that they're doing this. I'm very appreciative of that. but it's like, so anyway, here's the situation. It was not last night, the night before last night. You know, I'm a night person. I like staying up late watching TV, watching DVDs, occasionally playing video games, especially now that I got Epic Mickey. I'm like, oh, cool. I really want to get into this thing. It seems awesome. So, so we weren't sure exactly when they were coming, and then Sarah just comes in and says, oh, they're on their way. They're coming out today. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So I was busy working on some other stuff, but then suddenly they're here, and we go out to dinner, but then we come back, and so they have air mattresses and stuff. So now Gerald is sleeping in the living room where the TV is. Kurt is sleeping in the hobby room where my computer is.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah mandated many, many moons ago that there will not be a TV in our bedroom.
Good.
So
I mean, though, because that's where we're going to put our other TV.
So, yeah. So, and at the time I kind of came to these realizations, my car was, like, buried, you know, in the driveway with the other two cars blocking it. And, you know, it gets to the point where it's like, you know, well, they're all going to bed. Good night. And it's, like, midnight. And I am totally not tired.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't watch TV because Gerald's in the living room. I can't
really
do stuff
can't
on the
do
computer.
Anything but go to bed.
Yeah, so it's like I figure, all right. Well, I got the new Nerdist podcast, which is a special episode. It was 2 hours long, all full of stand-up comics. I'll just start listening to that, and I'm sure I'll fall asleep. So I lay down in bed, I turned it on, and I listened to it. 2 hours later, I've listened to the whole thing. I'm still not tired. I'm just laying there. So it's like I get up and I'm sitting and I. Because I'm just like, I hate laying in bed awake.
Yeah.
Unless I'm, like, sick and there's a reason for me to be laying in bed awake, it's just,
I don't mind it because I have Josh's iPad and I can play Bejeweled.
Well, that's my point. It's like, I could have maybe played Bejeweled on my phone, but it just didn't seem, like, worth the effort. And I couldn't get to Sarah's laptop because it was, like, somewhere in the room where Kurt was already asleep. So I basically got up and I stood next to the bed. So there it is, the middle of the night, awake, in the dark, standing next to the bed, thinking to myself, I have no idea what to do to myself. Or
with
do to
yourself.
Myself. Yeah, do with myself, in either case. Because, you know, I'm just like, I don't know what to do. And I literally stood there in the dark, trying to figure out what to do with myself. It's like, I can't leave, because the car's buried. I can't walk anywhere, because it's too cold. You know, in the hopes to find, like, what, a bar that's open until 3 in the morning?
You don't go to bars.
You know, it's like, if I could have gone to a bar that had snacks, you know, and a TV showing, you know, whatever, you know, the Craig Ferguson show in the middle of the night, it's like, whatever. I would have gone somewhere if I could have, but I couldn't. So I'm just standing here like, I don't know what to do now. And it was just ridiculous. So I just stood there pondering, and I realized I better just lay back down in bed because if Sarah wakes up and sees me
standing there plotting her murder,
hey, how you doing? You know. So I'm like, fine. So I laid back down. I can't remember if I tried to listen to something on the iPod or on my Zen player. Eventually, needless to say, I fell asleep. But it was just like such a ridiculous situation. So then last night, at some point in the evening, I went and grabbed her laptop and a bunch of the new DVDs I got for Christmas and put them next to the nightstand so it'll be like, okay, now I have something to watch. But then I went to Ed DeBevick's and I was there till past midnight. Didn't get home after going to the gas station, depositing money in the bank. I didn't get home until like 1:30 or so. So I pretty much was tired out to the point where I could fall asleep.
Yeah.
So
are we going to introduce the next song?
Yeah. So anyway, the sleep situation.
This seems like a random song to play, but...
Well, this is the song I mentioned in episode 30 that where I was talking about that one girl who would go to karaoke and sing the song improperly.
Oh, yeah.
So I figured for the hell of it, since, you know, we're past Christmas now...
I'll play
the version of the song that the way that Adam intended it to be. So,
yeah, this is a really good song.
Yep.
If you have children in the room, please clear them out. Thank you.
So here it is, At a Medium Pace by Adam Sandler on Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Your arms around me, baby. Can't you see I need you so? Hold me close against your skin. I'm about to begin loving you. Spit on your hand and stroke my cock at a medium pace. Play with my balls and tell me how big they are. Honey, rub your beaver up and down my face. Sit on the corner of the bed and watch me whack off. You see that shampoo bottle now? Stick it up my ass. Push it in and out at a medium pace. Talk about your old boyfriend's dick and how big it was. Now shave off my pubes and punch me in the face. Oh, darling, make me push my dick and balls back between my legs. Call me an ugly woman and take my picture. Show all the people you work with. Now pull up my scrotum and take the shampoo bottle out of my ass. Pretend I'm the pizza delivery guy and watch me whack off. Strap on a dildo and make me give you head. Tell me to slow down and do it at a medium pace. Oh, I feel so humiliated. I'm about to blow my load. You tell me it's time to make love, but now I can't, 'cause I spewed all over myself. Then you look into my eyes and you realize how much I enjoy loving you. I'm so sorry I spunked on my stomach. Maybe next time I'll be better at loving you. Oh. Oh.
What's Luke plugging now?
Oh, yeah.
What's at the Fump? What's at the Fump?
Funny Music Project.
At the Fump right now, you can download You're an Old Lady Who Used to Be Hot by Flat 29.
Holy shit!
Yellow Snow by Insane Ian.
I'm gonna barf!
The North Side of the Pole, Parts 5 and 6 by Money Shot Cosmonauts.
I don't understand what it means!
Celtic Christmas Elf Conscription Song by Mark Gunn.
It's not about cats.
It's a Fanboy Christmas 3 Return of the Magi by the great Luke Ski.
Best song ever.
as it was in our window for 3 days. The Island of Recalled Toys by Baldbox.
Whee!
Mr. Grint by Steve Goody.
Weasley!
And Joseph. Christmas with the Zombies by Jesse Smith.
Joseph was Jesus' dad.
And free MP3 of the week is
nothing.
There's none.
Yay. Yeah, I checked it today, and once again, it's gone to blank, so Sarah and I need to fix it. So, and also, I also need to order more copies of Greatest Hits Volume 1, and I'm going to do that when I place the order for the MarsCon CDs.
We're tarded out.
Yep. So, but there's still CDs of What a Ripoff Volume 2 immediately available. Or if you don't mind waiting, you can order Greatest Hits Volume 1 and it'll get sent in like, you know, a couple weeks. Artbyluxki.com, still available for parties and for individual caricatures. Go to artbyluxki.com if you want to check it out. The Dr. Demento Show, listen and make requests. Coming up this weekend is the Funny 25 of 2010.
Woo!
We'll finally get the official verdict on what the best songs of the year were on Dr. Demento, the most popular, the most beloved. So, yeah, listen to that, drdemento.com, D-R-D-E-M-E-N-T-O. Tour dates, I'll be at the Midwinter Gaming Convention 2011 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, January 13th through 16th. I'll be doing shows on the 14th, which is my birthday, and the 15th, deaduntildusk.com/midwinter. As I was making my notes today, I got an email from somebody at Capricorn asking me if I'd like to do a show there on Friday. So I said, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So it looks like I will be doing a Friday show at Capricorn.
Isn't that Chicago area?
Yep, that's in the Chicago area. That's in Wheeling, which is...
Which weekend?
Valentine's Day weekend.
Oh.
The weekend of February...
Well, anyways...
9th, 10th, 11th, 12th? Something like
what
that.
What suburb is it in?
Wheeling.
Mm. Well,
it's north of where Sarah and I live.
If it's Friday night, I might have to come out and... join you.
That would be cool. I don't know if I'm going to VisionCon or not. Right now I'd have to guess not, but maybe that'll change. I don't know. I'll keep you posted. And I am getting to work as quickly as my spare time allows on things relating to MarsCon 2011, the big dementia track. I am the chair. We'll be doing a lot of awesome stuff. Your music guest of honor is Worm Quartet. It'll be March 4th through 6th, 2011, Holiday Inn Hotel and Suites in Bloomington, Minnesota, a suburb of the Twin Cities, right across from the airport and the Mall of America.
Join us. One of us.
MarsCon.org and MarsConDementia.com. MarsConDementia.com will be updated as soon as I have things. I want to get things announced before January 13th, so keep an eye out. Carrie, what shade of pink are you wearing?
Pink sweater!
Yay! Ignorant stories. I don't really have one. I'm going to sort of follow up on the story that we edited out last time. And the point of the story, to save us 10 minutes, is that there's these women from a place called Serpent Safari. And by women, I mean they must be high school or college age because they're pretty darn young, and all of the boys who work at the arcade clamor over them because that's what young boys who work at arcades do. And they had kind of taken over my spot every Saturday night and it really annoyed me, hence me coming up with the very clever Usurpant Safari because they usurped my spot. And now they have to be in a spot somewhere else in the arcade level, and they actually took over somebody else's spot who had been like, I think that's where they were doing hair braiding or, I don't know, various things had been in that spot, but now they kind of taken it over as their own on the nights I saw them. So last night, as a surprise, I went out to Key Lime Co. because I got contacted by the management and they said, hey, we're sold out. Do you want to come out? And I did, and I made money and it was worth it. So I happened to be walking by, and they got taken over by a new arcade company. They are no longer Namco. They are another arcade company. So they put in, near the bathroom, this, like, shoot-em-up, you know, fake rifles shooting at, you know, a big projection screen, like, old-school Western style, like, ding, ding, you know. But it's pretty big. It's, like, this big 10-foot by 10-foot square with walls. And they put it near the bathroom. So now they've kind of created this slight corridor you have to walk through to get to where the bathrooms are. And that's next to the little niche space
that the girls had taken over for Serpent Safari. So when I walked by, I noticed that not only had they taken over that little space, they were both literally, with their signage and with themselves, standing in the path to get to the bathrooms. So imagine this. You're a 3-year-old kid. You got to go potty. You know, you have to go to the bathroom. You walk towards the bathroom, but there is something standing in your way. It's two women. One is holding a 7-foot yellow python, and the other one's holding a tiny alligator in her hands.
Yeah.
And all you want to do is go pee, and there's women holding monsters in your way. They truly are the usurpers of old, because they have taken over the territory to the bathroom. And children must get beyond them, or get their parents to pay for the cheap, you know, Polaroid photos of them with these, you know, things just so that they yeah. can, you know, get to the bathroom. So I just thought that was so hilarious.
That's
I mean,
funny.
It's like, seriously, you are literally standing there blocking the way to the bathroom for everybody with your animals. It's like, wow.
So that was way less than 10 minutes long and entertaining.
Yay! Because I had a more entertaining version of it this week. So
all right.
Comments go at the end of the show.
Yay! Did we have voicemails?
Yeah, we have one from Ian, so I guess I'll have to pause and queue it up when we get to that point. But
well, yeah, and so that I can hear it.
All right, so
I'll let you start. I like right. to read Bill's comments for right. some reason.
Arkel says, Ian, and then he has
a hot link.
A URL to...
Link. What is it called?
Arkel had mentioned in the previous episode something about him having a Gilmore Girls rewatch video blog.
Yeah.
And we were like, WTF. So this is a link to that blog. So
oh,
you
okay.
can witness for yourselves Arkel's Gilmore Girls rewatch video blog.
I'd never done the Gilmore Girls first watch.
Yes, neither have I. And he says, enjoy your contemplating. So there you go.
Blasted Bill says, your news of the stupid robber on a lawnmower reminded me of this story. My family was driving way up in the northern part of Michigan in what you might call the sticks. We drove through the middle of a very small town just around dusk and saw a large dance with young folks dressed in tuxes and gowns like it was prom. 2 miles down the road, we saw a kid in a tux driving a lawnmower towards the dance. This has been Bill, and I'm not in your song. Aww. Bill, we love you. And so, I wish you would believe that, even though I'm not going to be there on Friday. He's mad at us because we're not going to the party.
I'm sorry.
We're tired and we have
been... We love you, Blasted Pew.
Blasted Pew. I can't do it like you do it.
All right, here's a comment from Devo Spice. Some podcasting advice. Never break up your episode into multiple parts and release them on the same day. Many people, myself included, have their podcatching program set to only download the latest episode of a show. I was already on my way to work when I realized that I had episode 30 part 2 on my iPod, but not part 1. It doesn't matter how long the shows are. The Awful Show used to routinely push 4 hours every show. Just release it.
I had suggested Luke release one on one day and the next one on the next day, and he didn't want to do that. And probably part of our problem is that we're so used to the Mishki show coming out with two at exactly the same time, 4 times yeah. a week. So that's my excuse on that.
Okay, and yeah.
We're probably not going to break it up too often in the future, if ever.
Yeah, and if ever, I want there to be like a specific point to it. You know, like we could end one part with like a cliffhanger and then have the other part be concluded the following day or the following week or something. But thank you, Devo. Do you want to read this?
Jared Ringgold says, your link to the Flat 29 store doesn't work. It should point to flat29.spreadshirt.com.
And
once, I hadn't seen this one yet.
Yeah, and the instant I got that message from Jared, I went and fixed the links so that they worked properly. So then, just today, Charlie29, as in Charlie from Flat29, says, just to say, I love the picture for this episode. It's amazing. That would be the picture of you and I wearing
our Professor
Winston shirts with me with the KFC and you scolding me.
Yeah.
Also, thanks to Jared for correcting the merchandise mistake. Good work.
Yay.
And I should also mention that came in late was another comment from Arkel. So you want to read this one?
Sure. Arkel. Just so I don't end up having only a shameless plug read on the air, let me add another comment, read the dirty lyrics conversation Luke and Ian were having. I was going to call this in, but I was at a super windy and loud bus stop when I thought of it. Then I forgot somehow. Until just now. Anyway, I totally agree with Luke about how some of the best quote-unquote naughty songs don't actually have any of the words you can't say on television but are implied. However, there is one song that manages to be brilliant while being filled to the brim with four-letter words and graphic descriptions. You know all those R&B songs where the singer is using dance terminology but is pretty obviously singing about sex? Well, there's this great song by rapper Princess Superstar that inverts that. It's a genius song called Fuck Me on the Dance Floor, where graphic sexual terminology is used as a metaphor for dancing. I do want to hear that. P.S. Am I the only one who thinks the censored version of Sandler's Ode to My Car is actually funnier than the album version? I don't know if I've heard the censored version.
The censored version is, I don't know if Dr. Demento did it or if...
Look, it's a server. That's a picture of a server.
Thank you, Carrie. I don't know if Dr. Demento did this or if somebody in Adam Sandler's camp did this, but there is an edit of the song Ode to My Car in which the bleeping, so to speak, that occurs to take out all the swear words to make it safe for radio airplay is comprised entirely of various car honk and other vehicular noises. So that...
Oh.
So, it's called Ode to My Car, parentheses, car honk version. And you're not the only person who thinks that version is funnier. Lots of people think that version is funnier. I do see the funniness in it, but I also like the original uncensored version. The thing
I like swears.
The thing I object to is people who claim that there's so many Sandler haters out there in the funny music scene, and it really pisses me off because I don't know.
There are?
Yeah, there are. Virtually anytime I play any song by Adam Sandler during Dementia Revolution, somebody in the channel complains about the fact that I'm playing an Adam Sandler song.
I didn't know there was a bunch of Sandler haters. It's like, it's a funny song. That's what we play here.
Well, it's like, but no, that's the thing. It's like, you know, if I play any Adam Sandler, they'll all be like, ugh, the only good song he ever did was Ode to My Car, the car honk version. Everything else Adam Sandler did sucks. You know. It just really makes me mad. It's like because Adam Sandler is popular in the mainstream, that means he, you know, that all his work sucks because he's sophomoric and uses, you know, potty language. It's like big freaking deal. Shoebox goes around yelling about nipples all the time. How different is he from Adam Sandler? You know, really. So
he's more like a Weird Al nowadays.
Yeah, so on Dementia Revolution, whenever people start shit-talking Adam Sandler, I basically immediately turn the playlist to all Adam Sandler for the duration of the show just to annoy those people because he does a lot of great, brilliant, funny work on his five, you know, stand-up comedy albums.
I remember you gave me, like, kind of your own chosen best of. I'm trying to remember what was on there that I thought was so funny other than the songs. I can't really remember what it was, though. But... there's some, like, robot on there.
Yeah, the gay robot sketch.
Oh, gay robot. Gay robot's awesome. We should play gay robot. And now is the part where we listen to a voice message.
Hello, Luke and or Carrie. This is anonymous listener. I just wanted to comment. I really enjoyed the last episode of Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. Episode 30, there was a lot going on in that with Carrie back and forth between the things and the stuff and the Glavin and the hay. It was enjoyable. I liked the Christmassy, moving-y, guest-starring-ly bit of the episode. I'm not sure who that guest star was, but they were hilarious and sounded handsome. But once again, an enjoyable show. So thank you for that. This is a random comment from an anonymous listener who may or may not be insane. And thank you very much. Goodbye.
Yeah, so...
Thank you, completely anonymous person who may or may not be insane, Ian, and would like us to visit insaneian.com.
Thank you, anonymous. And now I would like to read the Google Voice translation of your message. Hello, Luke and Carrie. This is Anonymous and Listener. I just wanted to kinda, and I really enjoyed the last episode. We can. Gary's better, poor. I have the 730, there is a lot going on in that. With Carrie back and forth between the things and the stuff and the Glaven, and hey, so yeah, I was. It was enjoyable. I liked, yeah, the Christmas C Moving Me guest starring Lee date of the episode I. I'm not sure who that guest star was, but they were Mario's and sounded him from, but anyway, once again, enjoyable show. So thank you for that. This is a random comment from, and I just listened there, Mun may or may not be insane Ian. Thank you very much. Goodbye. They're getting a little better.
I like the fact that now Google Voice actually has the word Glaven. They actually have it capital G-L-A-V-I-N.
Nice.
So apparently there's a lot of Professor Frank impersonators out there leaving messages in the world.
So is it the end of the show?
Pretty much. We just need to... Where'd the outline go?
Paper! And you're supposed to be entertaining people because that's your job, not mine.
It's more funny to watch you flounder.
Fuck off.
You could have just said, Glaven! So, yeah. We keep forgetting to plug things when we play songs by people.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, Road Tripper is by Carrie Dalby, and you can find her stuff at carriedalby.com. Judy Tenuta, Hot Bra Cones, her website, I'm pretty sure, is judytenuta.com. Adam Sandler at a Medium Pace, his website is adamsandler.com. And Brian Posehn, I didn't specifically look this up, but if it's not brianposehn.com, I'll go back and fix it. P-O-S-E-H-N, Brian Posehn. And then we'll be playing the final song from him. It's an interesting cover version of another song that I thought was pretty awesome as a bonus track on the end of his most recent stand-up comedy album, which is called Fart and Wiener Jokes.
Alright, well, I'm going to get ready for an exciting suburban night of sleep and followed by an exciting suburban day of work.
Well, that's great. All you people, you can get ready for an exciting night of leaving comments for us about this episode at badrapport.com, BADRAPPORT.com. You could also leave messages for us at the Bad Rapport hotline, which is 916-LUKE-SKI.
That's 916-585-3754.
Yay!
Hit.
Wow, that was weak.
Yeah, I'm that tired.
You could also leave us an iTunes review, and there have been no new iTunes reviews. We still have the same seven we've always had.
Oh, come on. I left you an iTunes review. Why won't you leave me one?
You could go to iTunes and get the new the Toad Elevating Moment
Toad podcast? Toad Elevating Moment podcast.
Yes.
And I have an idea relating to the Pot of Destiny, but I'll tell you off the air.
Okay, so you can all wonder what that is. Visions of dancing plums, sugar in your heads.
Visions of dancing Dan's cheese candles float in your heads.
And Boudel weird legs.
Yes, the awesome Boudel weird legs.
So, alright, until next time, this is Luke.
This is Carrie.
This has been
Luke and Carrie's
Bad
Rapport.
Yay!
E.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Dark. learn to play it right.
You got to
know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run.
You never
count your money when you're sitting at the table.
There'll
be time enough for counting when the deal is done. Every gambler knows that the secret to surviving is knowing what to throw away and knowing what to keep. 'Cause every hand's a winner and every hand's a loser, and the best that you can hope for is to die in your sleep. And when he finished speaking, he turned back towards the window, crossed out his cigarette, and faded off to sleep. And somewhere in the darkness, the gambler, he broke even. But in his final words, I found an ace that I couldn't keep.
You got to
know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run.
You never
count your money when you're sitting at the table. When the deal is done,
you got to
know when to hold up,
hold up.
Know when to fold up,
fold up.
Know when to walk away,
motherfucker.
And know when to run.
You never
count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the deal is done.
You got to
know when to hold up,
hold up.
Know when to fold up.
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Okay, enough comedy jokes.
All right,
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.